All righty. Let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we are going to let's see here. We're going to go through just a few extra verses here tonight. A lot of good things here. I think one of the things that stops folks the most in serving the Lord is that we have in our mind that if I'm serving the Lord, everything is going to go smooth. I really think that's true. We think, well, everybody's going to love us. I'm serving the Lord. There's not going to be any problems. No one's going to fight us. Certainly not one of the brethren is going to fight us. And everybody's going to give me the benefit of the doubt and know that we're doing the best that we can and not complain. And instead of complaining, they come and offer their services. Yeah. Doesn't work that way. People are people. In fact, last week or two, you know, I've been preaching on this, and I should have known, because every time when I've been kind of harping on this for a few weeks here, Lord usually brings it around, and I have to deal with this. And all of a sudden, and the problems just start piling up. Have you ever noticed that they come in spurts? Have you ever noticed that? It's just me. And in fact, sometimes it's like they're smooth sailing for a while. And then all of a sudden, it's one thing after another, after another, after another, and all just kind of piles up. I don't think that's by accident. I don't think it's the universe and fate doing it. I don't believe that. Everything that happens to us goes across the Lord's desk. If you think it piled up on you, think about how it piled up on Job. I think the Lord takes us through those times. You see, the Bible says the finding pot for silver, the furnace for gold, but God tries the hearts. What does it mean? He turns up the heat. He puts on the pressure to show us what we are. I haven't really used this illustration for a while, but the fact is, you know, when you heat up precious metals, they take it through the finding pot. What happens is you heat it up, and all the impurities float to the top. All the parts that aren't good. And then you scoop that off. And then you heat it again. And there's some more. And you scoop that off. And the Bible talks about being purified 7 times. So that to get rid of all that impurity, all those problems. Now, if we deny the fact that we have these problems, we deny the fact that we have pride, if we deny the fact that we have a lack of faith, what we're really doing is taking all those impurities and stirring them right back down into the gold. You know what God's going to have to do then? Take us through the fire again and bring them to the top. And we think sometimes, well, I'll be okay. I can get over it. I'll make it through. Instead of confessing and forsaking, we stir it back down again and again and again. And you know what we do? We say, God, what are you doing to me? I thought when I became a Christian, it was supposed to be good for me. Being purified is good for you. But sometimes he has to put the pressure on, turn on the heat, to show us where we are. And being humble before God. We've been talking about worship on Sunday morning, which really means being totally humble before God. Licking the Master's hand. I'm just happy that I get to serve you, Master. And he says, I'm going to prepare you for something greater. But we're not, when I'm tried, that old Pastor Parr song, when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Troubles are not the absence of God. They actually may be the proof of his presence. Paul and Barnabas was sent out to be missionaries, beginning of chapter 13. And it wasn't long till they went into some issues, and there were some problems, and John Mark couldn't take it anymore, and he went home. But Paul and Barnabas said, well, let's go in the next town. So they walked to the next town, went right into the synagogue. And you know, they were getting some things done, and people were believing. But as soon as you start doing the things for God, old Satan's going to stir folks up. Sometimes he stirs up people who are the Jews. Aren't they God's people? These are God's people. And Satan stirs them up against God's message. God used those people to prepare us for what Paul was going to preach. But they're not going to go that far. And so they basically chase him out of town. They run him out of town. So what do? Well, in chapter 14, they go to the next town. They go into Iconium. Let me read it for you. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both the Jews and also the Greeks believed. There we go again. Sounds just like we had before. But the unbelieving Jews, aren't these God's people, stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You know, why I don't even understand that, because why do the Jews say, that's a lie. Why don't you go ahead and go with them? You stay out of our hair. But old Satan's got, you know, pride is amazing what pride will do. Verse 3, long time therefore, because the Jews had stirred up the Gentiles' minds against the brethren, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Instead of saying, well, they've got these people all against us, I guess we better just shut up and leave town. No, they said, no, we just need to preach a little longer. We just need to preach a little longer in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So people were being healed, some other things were going on. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the word, preached the gospel. So we're going to get to verse number 8 here in another week or so here, probably next week. But I want to talk about this, going through the place of tribulation to get to the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your word. Some truths here we want to see this evening. Pray that we help put these things in perspective. Let us not walk away being forgetful hearers. And maybe some things that we need to be encouraged to do. We need to be ready to do. Maybe there's some things you're warning us about, some things, not to fall away. And Lord, we're grateful that John Mark came back and was very useful and profitable for the ministry. And you even used him to write one of the Gospels of about your son. And yet, Lord, he was kind of put on the shelf there for a while because he allowed the persecution, the problems, and the tribulations to get him off track. And he ran away rather than just picking up and standing again. So, Lord, I pray you help us to use these lessons so we can see ahead. Prepare ourselves to trust you and obey you, even when the opposition appears to be winning. So, Father, speak to us here in Christ's name. Amen. So Paul and Barnabas had success in the Antioch of Pisidia, but along those spiritual success comes persecution. The thing is, you can't allow the persecution to stop you. You must just move on to those who will hear. We've been talking about the last few weeks. So in the next chapter, chapter 14 here, we see that is what Paul and Barnabas did. They moved on to the next opportunity. And since they are itinerant preachers, that means they moved on to the next town. And living for Christ is full of ups and downs like anything else. But God has a plan, and we have a place and a purpose in that plan. Now, I'm going to say, I'm going to put a whole bunch of these plants. Get your pencil ready to go here. It's going to get hot. We're going to do a whole bunch here, because a lot of this is review, but there's a couple of things we're going to put in perspective here, okay? So number one, they still have the same calling. no matter who fights against you, no matter what town it is, no matter who the people are, the same gospel is the same gospel that everybody needs. You can't take the gospel to the wrong house. If someone says they're a Christian and you tell them about the gospel and they get mad at you, you can almost guarantee they're not a Christian. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Listen, if you're saved and someone comes and starts giving you the gospel, all of a sudden you start feeling camaraderie with that person, not an opposition with that person. If you're really saved, you're glad there's somebody else out. You're happy for that soul to be happy enough to tell somebody about Jesus. If you're not, you got a problem as a Christian. That is, if you are one. So he said, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Letter B, they have the same plan. Nothing's going to change. Same thing. Went to the synagogue. I'm saying there's a lot of the same old thing. We talked about this before. Number one, preach the gospel and get folks saved. New towns, but the same old story. Preach the gospel and get folks saved. Letter C. We will continue to have many of the same problems. Now listen, you can pack up. I can't tell you how many preachers have packed up because they're having problems. They pack up and move to another church. And in a few weeks, the honeymoon is over. And they ended with the same problems they had at the old church. Same issues, same old stuff. If you're in a, listen, that's just the way it is, isn't it, preacher? I mean, no matter where you've been, you're going to have the same old problems. Well, it must be those people. It's not those people, it's people. Now, letter D, we can expect the same persecution. Now, it may not come from the same type of person. It usually comes from someplace you're not expecting. Somebody you bent over backwards to help. Somebody you took money out of your own pocket to help. And that'll be that very person will turn around and give you a hard time, talk bad about you all over town. It's just the way it works. Well, I didn't do it. I was trying to help them. Of course you were. And if you were doing something for the Lord, the whole devil's going to fight. Same persecution. Letter E. We need to continue the same preparations. In other words, we got to be ready for it. We're going to have the same, we got to know the Word of God. We got to just work hard to be prepared to face what's going on. Letter F, we need to continue to present the gospel and the doctrines of the Word of God. We say, well, that's what got me in trouble. I know, but without the presentation of the gospel, we're not doing the work of the Lord. It's the truth of the Word of God that I need to hear. That's what changes lives. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Letter G, we need to refuse, watch, all the pushback of the people to prohibit us from preaching. So in other words, they need to refuse to allow it to prohibit me from preaching. Listen, there's a lot of times you're going to want to give up. You may be people, it may be problems, it may be the situation, it may be all kinds of things that's fighting against you. If we're in the work of the Lord, we got to realize that God knew all about that when we got here, and He's got a plan. He called us to glory and virtue. He didn't call us to a failure. In fact, but His glory and virtue is greater when it takes us through the tribulation to come out the other side. When the guys come home from war, they don't rejoice if they didn't go to a battle. The greater rejoice is because they've been through the battle and have seen the victory. And so we walk through the battle with the Lord. Remember, the battle is the Lord's if you give it to Him. A lot of people say, well, I know the battle is the Lord, but they don't let Him fight it. The battle is the Lord, but then they don't do what He told them to do. They go about to fight it in the flesh, and they wonder why it's not working. Because you didn't let Him have the battle. We took a hold of the battle. So we have to refuse to allow this to prohibit us, to stop us from moving on. Letter H. This is not a P like the rest of them. New town, but the same reactions. New town, but the same reactions. It says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Some believe and are saved. Some reject them and persecute them. You go to the next town, some are going to believe, and some are going to reject them and persecute you. You go to the next town, some are going to believe, and some are going to reject it. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it works. Letter I. So we need the same power of God to do the work. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Watch. Say it this way. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the flesh. Now, they spoke boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by his hands. Now, wait a minute. Who granted the signs and the wonders? The Lord. So then who gave testimony of his word and his grace? The Lord. Well, how did he do that? When they spoke the word of God in the Lord. They didn't speak the word of God in the flesh. You follow what I'm saying here? Sometimes we miss these little subtleties here, but that's a wonderful promise. They spoke in the Lord. They had the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. God showed them with signs and wonders. God's Holy Spirit was on them. Listen, when things went bad, they didn't turn tail and run. They just go to the next town. Because why? They're living by faith. And faith says he hasn't called us to fail. He called us to glory and virtue. So if I turn from my calling, I'm turning from the glory and the virtue. If I want to stay on the tube for the glory and the virtue, I'm going to have to stay in my calling. But wait a minute. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Doing what? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He didn't say, he got rid of my enemies so that I could prepare myself a table. He didn't say that. He prepares a table in the presence of the enemy. This doesn't make sense. See, there's so many people who read the Bible and it doesn't make sense because you know that what they leave out? The God element. You know what I'm saying? But God. We live according to the natural. God works according to the supernatural. That's because he's God. Listen, I'm not saying he doesn't use natural means sometimes, but listen, he gets the greatest glory when we know it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. So we need the same power of God to do the work. Now, wait a minute. While we're doing the work in the power of God, some are going to believe and some are going to reject. That hasn't changed. Well, what's the difference? God gave us a free will. Listen, I can go up to one person and say, you know what, bud? You need to get saved. But I can go up to the next person and say, bud, you need to get... Don't you tell me what I need. It all depends on whether you're willing to play ball with it or not. You've heard my little illustration. When I was a kid, my neighbor and I, when about March, we get our ball gloves out. And we start playing pitch and catch. And we would play this thing we call burn ball. And that meant I throw the ball as hard as I can to him, and he catches it. You know, and then he throws the ball at me, and I catch it. And if you can make that thing crack, that's what you're aiming for. To crack, so, you know, you take that glove off because it hurt. That's the game plan, burn ball. Now, wait a minute. It hurts. But boy, do we have fun. But if I don't want to play and I turn my back, now that's going to hurt. And sometimes people do the same thing to God's word. Instead of saying, step on my toes, preacher. Give me what it was. I want to fix this thing. I'm going to fix this thing. I know it's going to hurt. I've bite a bullet, but I want to hear what you got to say, preacher. And then you got other people who said, I don't want to do that. No. And we turn our back to it. But the power of God comes along and smacks them anyway. And they say, well, it just hurts. And it only hurts because you're not willing to receive it. Letter J. The purpose of the signs and wonders, and which, by the way, when we get to the verse number 8, we're going to see one of the signs and wonders. Okay? But the purpose, letter J, of the signs and wonders is not to necessarily heal, but to show who it is that is speaking to them. It is to draw glory to God, bring attention to Him, to validate God's spokesman with the supernatural. God does heal at times, but other times it's not His purpose. If it was always God's will to heal, then as long as we are right with God, we would never die. That would mean that everyone who dies is out of the will of God. That means every great preacher in history died out of the will of God. No, you know that's not true. In fact, God in His mercy kept the Adam and Eve away from the tree of life, lest they live forever. Why? Because then they would live forever in a sinful, fallen world. Think about how bad it was by Noah's time. Now, what if nobody had died between Noah's time and now, how bad it would be? God purchased the world of us sinners, and lest of those who know Christ go to heaven, go to His presence. Say it spares us from that. Letter K. It is not that we are to hang on to this life, but we are to want our lives to bring glory to God. We want our lives to bring glory to God. Now, listen to this. If God wants to perform a miracle to bring glory to God, then that's good. It might mean you have to spend your more years on this earth, and that might be unpleasant. I mean, maybe Him healing us and we live a whole lot longer just means we suffer this old world a whole lot longer. If God wants to take you home to glory, to bring glory to God, then you get to go home early. If God wants to allow you to have a thorn in your side for the rest of your life to best bring glory to Him by the way you handle it, fine. But if He chooses to miraculously heal you of your problem to bring glory to Him, then that's good too. You see what I'm saying? The purpose of the signs and the wonders, letter L, are so we can bring the most glory to God and thus draw the most folks to Him. The purpose of God is not to make my life comfortable. The purpose of God is not for me to have a free ride. The purpose of God in my life is for me to bring glory to God. So that other folks are drawn to Christ and they too can have eternal life. Because listen, this life is just a vapor. It comes, it's gone, poof, it's done. Man, I mean, that has come to my reality. I don't know where the last 20 years went. I mean, we've been here for 20 years. I just don't know where it's gone. I turned around about a year and a half ago, and I thought, oh, my soul, we're almost to our 20th anniversary. I just got here. Letter M, I think it's M's the next one. The goal is to seek and to save that which is lost and bring them to Jesus. That's the goal. Whatever God knows will do that the best, then that is what we need to be willing to do. That's what we need to be willing to do. That's what I'd be willing to do. Trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'd be willing to do. Lord, whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. That brings glory to God. See, we don't like that. You know why? It doesn't bring glory to us. It may be uncomfortable. Boy, God is really, he is really selfish. Boy, he just wants me to give everything up. Just give everything up for him. I think I know somebody else who gave up everything. Did it on a cross for a dirty, rotten sinner named Sterling Walsh. And on what he always gets out of it is, I'm moving to his house. He paid the price of my sin, and now he's stuck with me eternally. I'm living in his house. Now, I'm going to start over here at another number one. This is basically the new stuff. That was review. All right, here we go. Number one, verse 4. It says, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Number one there. We want to bring unity with the gospel. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. There are people who are going to tell you that we're wrong and ungodly because our stand causes division. And that we are unkind, we must not be godly because we're hurting somebody because we stand somewhere where somebody else wants to stand, but we're pronouncing it wrong to stand there. You follow what I'm saying there? Trying to be nice about it. We call sin, sin. Why? Because sin hurts people. How many times have you reprimanded your child and they cry because you reprimanded them and you think, listen, I just spared you from having a broken arm. Why are you mad at me? Boy, the Miller just was smiling. You've been through that a few times, haven't you? Why are you mad at me? I just spared you from having to take you to the hospital and have an operation to reset your arm or something, or break a leg or whatever. You know, don't stop it. You're gonna put an eye out. You know, as they always say, you're gonna break a leg. You're gonna break your neck. You know, and we don't like that. And we push back on that. But actually, we want to bring unity. And so when what we say brings division, we think we're wrong and we want to give up. Now, don't go out making division just because you like to see everybody get stirred up. There's people who want to do that. You know, have you ever known some guys? There were some guys in high school like that. They could walk into a room and they could get people stirred up. I mean, it'd be a fight, and then they sit back there and watch the entertainment. You know, that was just kind of their thing. Shouldn't be doing that, but the fact is, you want to bring unity, but listen, we preach the gospel, some are going to reject and some are going to receive. The whole town one day is going to be saying, yes, you're the greatest thing ever happened, and two or three days later, they're ready to call the dogs on you. If you actually stand for something, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But that doesn't mean that was wrong trouble. I don't keep record because I don't want to keep record. But there's been quite a few times in the last 20 years where I've had somebody that thought I was the greatest thing that came down since sliced bread, and a year later, they thought I was the worst thing that ever happened to Dover. They loved it when I picked on somebody that had a sin that they didn't have a problem with. But if I bring up about a sin that they happen to have a problem with, now I'm being nosy. Now I'm being picky. Now I'm being condemning, self-righteous. I give a testimony that the Lord has blessed me. Instead of rejoicing with me, there's people out there who call me self-righteous. It's not because strolling good is not, I take no credit. I'm just saying that the times in my life when I've trusted the Lord, He keeps His promises. The times when I haven't trusted the Lord and done what I want to do, He still keeps His promises. He promised to give me a hard time. That's what He promised, and I get those too. Letter B. Just because what we do causes division doesn't mean we are to stop. Number one, we need to be frank, but what we do must be done in love, and that love must be obvious, obviously observable to those who are trying to affect. Let me say it again. Doesn't mean we're supposed to stop. But that doesn't mean, that means we must do it and be done in love. And it must be obviously observable that it's done in love. Listen, you can tell somebody, well, I love you. And this doesn't quite carry, this doesn't carry what you expect. You know. You just got finished laying them out on the ground, you know, with a 1-2 punch. And he said, but I love you, but you're just getting on my nerves. You want to know what love is? Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Go back to the Gospels where the Lord says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Bless and curse not. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't return railing for a railing. So I can't do that. You can if you're doing it in the Lord. As you walk in the Spirit of God, yielded to Him. If you determined to be like Him, you'd be surprised how He carries you along to actually do that. Letter C. Knowing that some division will probably come is not an excuse to stop, nor to let the fur fly, or even be blunt and unkind. Unkind is a word you're looking for there. Since we know it's going to be a problem anyway, why don't we just let it rip? And I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of Christians who do that. And they think they're being, but you know what they, you know where they do that? In the church, in a church meeting. With all the people who already agree with you. Oh, this guy, that's right, preacher, amen, you tell them that. We're all in agreement. And then they go out and treat people like this. And wonder why they're not being received. Now, Jesus is very plain about truth. When we were doing the, when I years ago, I always wrote the Living Cross down at Open Door. There's like a big two-hour passion play. And one of the things we would do is we would actually, you know, just you use the scripture as a lot of your text for the script. And I mean, a lot of times there was almost word for word right out of the Bible. And so one of the things is we would see, you know, these conversations between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. Now there was a couple of scribes, Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And I'll be honest with you, when we say that, we expect, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I don't think Jesus did it that way. And I had to say, wait. I think He spoke plainly. He says, whoa, It's woe. You know where, you don't know what you're headed for here, guys. Woe. Sorrow. Scribes, Pharisees, listen. You're actors. That's what a hypocrite was. You're acting. You're actors. Hippocrates was the father of actors. Thespians, if you will. Not lesbians, thespians. Actors. And he says, hypocrites, you're an actor. You're pretending. Pretenders. That's what he said. When we say hypocrite, it's gotten a different connotation. Scribes, Pharisees, you're pretenders. Oh, you dress yourself up on the outside of the whited sepulchers, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones, and you know it. You're dead as you stand here. Now, he was pointed, but I don't believe he was mean. I don't think he had to be unkind. Letter D. On the other hand, being given the gospel is all some folks need to get angry with you. And you can say it as nice as you want to give it to them. That's all some folks need to get angry with you. That's what's happened here. But they did it, and the Holy Spirit was on them. He was the Holy Spirit himself, the God himself, was speaking boldly through them, giving testimony of the word of grace and by granting signs and wonders. They knew this was from God that they were speaking. That's what actually made it hurt the worse. Do you know when you get the most angry? When you don't have a leg to stand on. When actually you feel threatened. When you know you're getting beaten. That's when we get angry. Start throwing wild punches and this and that and the other thing, trying to just survive. Luke 12:41. I don't know if I didn't give that to you, did I? Luke 12:51. I'm going to read more. There's one verse, but I'm going to read a little bit more. Jesus says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." And it goes on. "For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father will be divided against the son, the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." All over the name of Jesus. Don't bring that religion into my house. Now, folks, don't. Don't necessarily blame yourself. Go back and find your, you know, see how you did, but don't hold that as if it was all your fault if somebody rejects you because you gave the gospel. Do you realize there's going to be people who's going to reject the gospel? God forbid, but the fact is, everybody who rejects the gospel is somebody's little boy or somebody's little girl. It's somebody's father, somebody's mother, somebody's brother, somebody's sister. Everybody who rejects the gospel. And it's bound to happen to some of us. In fact, it's probably bound to happen to all of us somewhere in the midst of our family. You'll love them, make the love obvious, live it. Draw them to the Lord. You can't demand for them to make a decision right there and then, but you can build up a case for Jesus as they watch you over the years. I prayed for my dad for 15 years. And he went from, it's foolishness. You can't live like that. It's a fairy tale. Oh, it's good to go to church and learn how to be honest. But listen, you can't live like that. That's not the real world. Hey, if I don't make it out of this hospital, is there anything I need to do to make sure that I'm ready? I said, well, yeah, Dad. And then a few minutes, he's praying with me with tears down his eyes, going down his cheeks. We get done praying, say amen. He says, hey, we got it settled, didn't we? I'm not taking credit for it. Holy Spirit does the convicting. But I could have done a lot of damage if I didn't do my part as the Lord would want me to. He still does it. He's the one who got him saved. He's the one who draws him. The fact is, it's not that I'm great. It's just that I tried to do my best not to do any more damage than necessary. You know, I shouldn't say necessary, than impossible. I tried to stop it as much as I could. Even speaking of good things like the blessing of having the Holy Spirit can make folks angry. John chapter 7, verse 37 says this. In the last, this is Jesus speaking. You're going to be in a second here. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others says, this is the Christ. But some said, well, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh from the seed of David out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. You say, well, it would have been better if he just kept his mouth shut, wouldn't it have been? No. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? Because they wanted to get him arrested, get him off the streets there. The officers answered, never a man spake like this man. Then answered then the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, Nicodemus saith unto him, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, art thou of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. All went off in a huff. Well, there you go. Jesus causes division. He gave them the truth. Satan caused the division. Their own flesh causes division. You see what I'm saying here? I'll guarantee you, Jesus did not say what he said there in the wrong way. But they took something as good as that and made a fight over it. So what am I saying? Don't let somebody say, you're wrong, you're hurting people because every place you go causes division. Well, if they don't agree with God and what you're preaching is the word of God, it's going to cause division. Jesus said so. In the same household, two against three, three against two. Mother and daughter and father and son and daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws. And John 9:16 says, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others say, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Letter E, no, I don't think you have this, do you? Just giving the truth can make some folks angry. John 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is Jesus speaking. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down myself. I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil, and he's mad. Why hear ye him? Another says, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Remember what the police officer said when they came back without Jesus? Said, no man ever spake like this guy did. Why? He spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the point was driven home. And either you receive it or you reject it. The point being, watch this. This is where we started last week. The point being is this. We are tools in the hands of God. Sometimes God sees it as necessary for us to be lifted up, and sometimes we must be put down. Sometimes he heals, and sometimes we're put to death. We're tools in God's hands. Our reward is not based on how exalted we are in this life, but how usable we allowed ourselves to be in this life. Let me say that again. Our reward in heaven is not based on how exalted we were in this life, but it's based on how usable we allowed ourselves to be in this life. Success is having done the will of God. I'm going to stop there. We'll put that in the next one. Didn't want to, but I don't think I'll do it justice if I. We live in a society where the world, the flesh, and the devil wants to silence God and his word. The reason is, if it's proclaimed, you can't stop it. His word does not return void. So the only way to keep it from going is to basically try to stop it. Now, the old devil knows us better than we do. You know what he knows? As Christians, we want to help people. He knows that as Christians, we don't want to do anything to hurt someone. He knows that as Christians, we want folks to come to know Christ as their Savior. He knows as Christians, we don't want to do anything that would cause somebody to reject Christ. So, if we don't establish ourselves in the things I'm talking about in these last few messages, because we need to preach the whole counsel of God, what happens is, we get zealous and we get all fired up and we do something, we tell somebody, and all of a sudden somebody gets mad at us. And we think, oh my stars, I just caused that person to go to hell. Now if you did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, you did not cause them to go to hell. If they go to hell, they go to hell over God, over Christ's risen body. My dad's in glory now, and he was saved. But I'm going to tell this, because you know the thing is, it hurts the worst when it's your own family. You know what I'm saying? Somebody you love, somebody you care about, and you want them to respect you and so forth. And it's not, you know, a father and a son relationship is very important. You know, it's kind of like I can face the world if Dad says I can. You know, and those kind of things. Now we need to do it because Christ says we can, but. You know, we kind of think this way. I was 30 years old
in 1990. Yeah, that's right, I'm 63. I was 30 years old, and I had been thinking about this for years. I felt that God had called me to be a pastor, to be full-time in a ministry somewhere, somehow. I didn't know how. I really thought the Lord couldn't use me to do that. But to be honest with you, it just kind of came to a head there, and I said, I just got to do it. If I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. Now, I had really never said a whole lot to my parents about it because you don't leave town, you know. You want to meet everybody. We're all there together, you know. And there's no sense of getting everything stirred up and never anything happened. But I remember when I went in to tell my dad that I was going to move away and go to a seminary to get my degree, and I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I mean, maybe I'll be a music director someplace. Maybe I'll be assistant pastor. I don't know. Maybe I'll be a pastor one of these days. And I said, and I thought to myself, I'm leaving. One of the hard things I did, one of the reasons I hadn't done it before, was I didn't want to leave Carroll County, Maryland. We're all related, everybody. It's just my home. That's it. And I said, I don't know. You know, sometimes you get in the ministry, and God calls you to the other side of the world. I don't know I'm going to have time or money to be, or the ability to be coming back to see you a whole lot. I said, I don't know what might happen. But I felt like I needed to surrender that. Turned out I came back to Carroll County as an assistant pastor for another 15 years. But, of course, he didn't like this. And this is what he said. He says, if God calls you away like this, if you pack up and leave like that, I'll become an atheist. That's what he said. I'll become an atheist. Now, my father was a very wise man. But when he got upset and when it came to the thing of religion, he didn't always think everything through. Now, if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I better not go. God, that's not saved yet. And I don't want to be the one that keeps from getting saved. It wasn't but another week. One of my family members came into my office at the church where I was a music teacher at Open Door at that time, but I was going to leave and go get my pastoral studies. And this family member came into my office and said, I had a dream and you're not supposed to leave. It's wrong. You're an idiot. She called me some other names that I won't call in public. And they said, listen, how can you leave town when your own father is not saved? You go out, save the world, and your own father's not saved. Now see, if we're not careful, we'll let things like that stop us. So don't you care about your father? Oh, I absolutely care about my father. But I have another father who knows all about my earthly father. In fact, when I had the conversation with my father, I hate to say it, in the heat of the times, I'll become an atheist. I said, Dad, you know what you're saying? You're mad at something that you don't believe in. You're an atheist. You don't believe in God. So why are you so mad at him? I said, I appreciate you want me to stick around. I'm glad you're not ready to get rid of me. Finally got that kid out of town. I'm glad you want me around. You see what I'm saying? Why was he upset? Because they wanted me around. Well, I'm grateful. I'm flattered, if you will, you know, in a good way. Thankful. So why should I yell at him and give him a hard time because he wants me around? But that's what we do. We could have stood there and had an argument over this. And I've said before, the person who came into my office and told me that, and Nate called me all the names, and told me that she knew for sure that I wasn't supposed to go
go to college and become a pastor, came in Galatians 5 said, she did so in the work of the flesh. Whole attitude was in the flesh. Wasn't the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, making an appeal. It was all in the flesh. So who was guiding her thinking? Wasn't the Holy Spirit. So you know what I knew? Who was attacking me? God? Or the world, the flesh, and the devil? So who was trying to stop me? The world, the flesh, and the devil. So actually that convinced me. I was a little bit shaky whether I should go or not. I mean, it was a big deal with me. I mean, I was such a stutter and a stammerer and all this kind of stuff and never pastored a church before, and I almost felt presumptuous going off to college to be a preacher. But I felt like it burned in my heart. And so when they did that, I thought, well, the devil's fighting it. It's probably right. My point is, I didn't start, you thought I was going to stop, didn't you? My point being is, do right. Don't let the reaction stop you from doing right. Every staff member who's left here, I tried to talk them out of leaving. Why? Because I want them here. But I want to get mad at them. I do. I want to get mad at them. But God knows. Every one of my children have moved out of town to serve the Lord someplace else. I wanted to stop them because I want them here. But wait a minute, Lord. Maybe I need to share a little Sterling Walsh all the way around.